Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest, over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Let's go! 1-0-3! 1-2-3!
You're listening to the best of the Dolphins.
Yeah, yeah, boy, man. Keep hands on to the 1-2.
A weekly mix of AM 560 Sports, WQAM's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood, on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, let's go right to him. Fresh off the Senior Bowl, Chris Perkins from the Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist. Perk, good morning. How you doing, man?
Joe, man, I'm fired up, baby. Senior Bowl, Super Bowl. I hate the offseason. Because it's just a bunch of yapping, and after Sunday, we won't have a meaningful game for 8 months. But I'm fired up, man. I get excited at this time every offseason.
Well, let's get into all the stuff pertaining to the Dolphins now, your Senior Bowl. I was watching the NFL Network and watching a lot of stuff. It looks like the guard position looks in pretty good shape, and I think I'm like you as far as Jalen Rivers. I think Jalen Rivers, the left guard slash tackle of the Miami Hurricanes, I really like him. I've liked him for the last 2 years. I was surprised he came back to school. What'd you think of him?
Yeah, I thought he looked really, really good. They tried him all over the line, Joe. Left guard, center, right tackle. I didn't see him at left tackle, but that doesn't matter. He said he was going to do it, but I didn't notice it. But Rivers played really well, man. He had a good Senior Bowl week out there. I thought his versatility really shine. There were some other guys out there, Wyatt Milam of West Virginia, Emory Jones of LSU, when you're talking about guards. And a lot of those guards have tackle versatility, Joe, which could be important depending on the health of Austin Jackson, which you can't count on now, and then depending on the development of Patrick Paul. So yeah. There is some versatility there, and I don't know if anybody would be willing to move Aaron Brewer back to guard. But, you know, if there's an attractive center, maybe that's an option. But I think versatility is going to be key for this guard that you select.
Hey, Perk, I want to ask you a question because Woody asked me if you had a guy with about the same grade at safety and one had the same grade at guard or potentially, you know, he's going to come right in day one and start and had a chance to be a really good guard. What would be more important to you right now?
Ooh, that's a good question. It would probably depend on what I did in free agency. You need two starters at both positions, right? You need two guards and
that's
you need
correct.
Two safeties.
Good point.
So depending on what I did, it would probably depend on what I did in free agency. But I will tell you this. If they could get Malachi Starks from Georgia, I think he's a better player than anybody else. Now, Tyler Booker, the guard from Alabama, neither of those two guys is at the Senior Bowl. He's a quality player also, but I would probably, as best player available in that situation, I'd probably favor Malachi Starks of Georgia.
Hey, before we jump into all these different positions, because I know defensive line, you like to get another big guy there in the middle that's young and got a lot of tread left on the tires here, but I'm just curious, and the quarterback, the backup quarterback, I know there's a lot of quarterbacks out yeah. there as well, but you're going to have to do some of this through veteran free agency again. How bad a cap shape are you in right now, and how hard will it be for them to get under?
They can get under fairly easily. I think they're 12-6 over or something like that. They can get under, Joe, but the thing is, how much, you know, what is your short-term and long-term attitude? And what I mean by that is you're still in win-now mode. Greer and McDaniel know they need to win now, but you can't sell the present for the future. And so, you know, as Dave Hyde has asked so many times, who's looking out for the store? You know, who's looking out for the organization? So there's possibilities. I mean, you can get under and get yourself the quality veterans and do the win now thing once again, but and trade draft picks for veterans, but that's not good for the long term. You know, you've got a lot of draft picks. You could have as many as 10 draft picks. You need to be smart about what you do and how you go about rebuilding this thing. So hopefully there's a master plan here and somebody is overlooking it, whether it's Garfinkel or whoever, the president. Hopefully somebody is looking out for the organization here, Joe.
Yeah, that keeps getting brought up here because there is pressure to win, obviously, right now for those guys, and I'm sure they feel that, know that, too. And human nature is going to be to go out and plug it up the best you can for right now to try to get a playoff position. But I want to ask you about the backup quarterback position. Would you draft a guy in the first? They got some fourth-round picks. If there's a guy there you like, or is this going to get done mostly through a free agent? There's a whole bunch of free agent quarterbacks.
Yeah, I'm a veteran free agent quarterback guy, Joe, because, look, you need somebody who can – you are still in win-now mode. It's not win at all costs, but you still are in win-now mode because you've got Tua and Tyreek and Bottle and Ramsey and Sealer and all of these guys who are still in the prime of their career, Jonnu Smith, Devon Achane. This should be a playoff team, Joe. I don't know if they're right now, you can't say they should win a playoff game. They should win 10, 11 games next season. They really should. You've got that kind of talent. You've got that kind of defense. Weaver's coming back. Yeah, that defensive coordinator. Looks like Daryl Bevel is coming back at quarterback coach for Tua. You're returning a lot of key pieces on and off the field, Joe. So, you know, the expectations for this team are pretty high. I'm expecting this team to go out there and do some good things. And so, yeah, the win now mentality to me says I need a quarterback, a veteran quarterback who can go out there and carry out that mission, not a rookie who guys are going to look at in the huddle and go, I don't know if this guy can get it done. We're trying to do this now still.
Yeah, so we got two guys that when they play are really, really good. And if you could re-sign one of them, would you rather have Calais Campbell or Teron Armstead, left tackle, or how good Calais was as all around both great leadership guys. Could you see them both coming back?
Man, if Calais really wants to win a Super Bowl and he looks at the Dolphins, you know, from everything, from, you know, what am I was in handcuffs before the opener. Like, and then we missed the playoffs. Like, I don't know why he would want to come back to this circus other than, you know, he just really loves his teammates. Like, I just don't know why, Joe. He's not going to win a Super Bowl here. Teron, that right knee was in such bad shape. I don't know if he's going to be physically able and how much you can count on him. I'd rather have Calais back because of Theron's health. I don't know that either of them come back, Joe.
Yeah, and I don't know if Calais comes back. He's not giving that bargain after the year he just had, is he? You think he comes back?
No.
He's like, hey, you got your 1 year, and that's it. I think. Yeah. By the way, where's that as far as priority? Getting another 300-pound guy inside to stop the run that can maybe rush the quarterback. That's got to be up there on the priority list.
Yeah, you know what? My priority list, it depends on, I guess, who's making your priority list. But for me, I've got my top three are backup quarterback, safety, guard. And then, look, I'm still for power/workhorse running back, somebody who can do something in the short yard. Look, Joe, here's the deal with your run game. It's not good in third down, not good in short yardage, not good in red zone. It doesn't run very well between the tackles. Like, you've got to fix that. You've got to make that run game a factor. So I favor that also. And then you need an inside linebacker, and you do need interior defensive line help. So, but I think the interior defensive line help you can get in free agency. You know, you don't really need a butt kicker there because you have Zach Sealer. You just need some quality veterans to me. And then you need some young talent also. But I think that's day two, day three of the draft.
What do we do with Kendall Fuller? Concussions, knee?
You got to replace him. Got to replace him, and I don't mean that in any disrespect to Kendall Fuller. I believe he turns 30 on February 13th, so in about 10 days. Last season, two concussions and a season-ending knee injury. I would not rule out drafting a cornerback in the first round, Joe, because you can't count on Cam Smith, and, you know, you're hoping Storm Duck comes around, but you could be potentially in a rough, rough spot at cornerback. So I would not rule out drafting a cornerback in the first round. I would tell you that. I didn't put that on my priority list, but I don't think you can count on Kendall Fuller as a starter next season.
I got to tell you, Perk, man, we go through this list, and this is a lot to fill in, bud. This is – I mean, so those 10 draft picks, I know we say this a lot. I think you're going to agree with me. We need some guys to come in and be day one starters. We're not big on day one starter rookies around here, as you know, but we're gonna need some. Am I wrong on this? I mean, we got to have growth of young guys. We got to have a Chop Robinson or three or four Chop Robinsons this year.
You do. But here's the thing, Joe. When you talk about all the talent coming back, you know, you are also getting Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips back. And that's going to help a defense that was already a good defense. So there's not as much pressure on all of these day one guys. I'll tell you something else, Joe. You've got to get your big guys to come through in the clutch. And I wrote about this about a week ago.
You did.
In games against playoff teams, you know, I'm huge on this stat. The Dolphins in the last 2 years are 2-10. Tua has 15 touchdowns, 14 interceptions, and neither Waddle nor Hill have a 100-yard game. So that's your major problem when you talk about why this team can't progress. You've got to get your big guys unleashed somehow. You can't have them being saddled and stopped like this. But beyond that, there's other positions that you need to fill. But I think the talent, again, is playoff caliber talent, Joe. They, you know, if you're talking about winning a playoff game and getting a home, you know, playoff game, well, now you're talking about 12 wins, and that's a pretty significant leap, I guess, 8-12. But it can be done, and probably should be done.
All right, but slow down there, Charlie Brown. Buffalo's still up there.
They are. I know. They are. Hey, I know. Buffalo, Kansas City, Baltimore. You can't play any of those teams in the first round of the playoffs, Joe, is basically what the deal is, right?
Yeah. No, I No, you're 100% right. So I'm really curious, Mike. I don't know about you. I'm tired of hearing about two deep and we're cracking the two deep thing. We've got Jaylen Waddle on one side, Tyreek Hill. And we're paying them a lot of dough to be involved. I thought the Jonnu Smith story was fantastic, but we need to get back to the 1-2 horses in this offense down the field, huh?
Yeah, definitely. And look, there's a few ways you can go about doing that, right? You can they did a nice job getting Jonnu. Maybe you get a slot receiver. They tried last year with OBJ. That was a complete failure, but it was a good thought. maybe you go with a running back. You know, you've got Achane, but you need somebody who can get, you know, 15, 18 carries a game, most of them between the tackles. There's different ways to take pressure off of Tyreek and Jaylen Waddle and to make defenses pay for playing that too high safety look, but the Dolphins just aren't there yet. They've got to get there this offseason.
Yeah.
So they've got to. You've got to make teams pay for playing that too high look.
Hey, Perk, you just hit me with a cornerback, safety, a guard, and defense. You're putting a lot of pressure on me here. You're putting a lot of pressure on this playoff team, brother. Hey, Perk, it's always great. Always great talking to you, man. Appreciate it very much.
Joe.
Thank you. You take care.
All right, we'll do it.
All right. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist, joining us. Talk a lot about, listen, they need some work. Got a hit on it. Can't have a draft class of guys that aren't playing a lot or see them on special teams or inactive on game day. Can't have that. Tell you what you can have, Michael Kotze of Choice Mortgage help you. Huh? Help you. That's right. You want to get a mortgage? Need it? Found a place? First-time home buyers? Michael Kotze's got you covered with the best rates and qualify you quickly. That's what he does. And I want to let you know, too, self-employed and declined by the banks. He's got programs for you. Hey, Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage has been doing this for 35 years. And when it comes to getting approved quickly and getting the lowest rates and being able to get a hold of your guy even on the weekends, hello, I'd like to introduce you to Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, the man with no life. Google reviews on the web are saying a lot of nice things about Choice Mortgage reviews. You got to check him out. Find out what people are saying. Find out why he's so good at what he does. It's about great service. It's also about helping you get qualified quickly. That's what he does. Reverse mortgages are more popular than ever. If you and your spouse are 62 or older, you qualify with all that equity in your home, and you could use it right now at this age in your 60s. Let Michael Kotze get it done for you. I could go on and on, but Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage helping a lot of folks out there that are in bad, bad situations right now with his experience and ability to get you qualified quickly. That's what he does, man, and has been for a long time. The man has no life. He's always working for you 7 days a week. It's about great service. Call or text him. 561-441-2730. 561-441-2730. MLS 166-254. Rates and terms subject to change daily without notice. He's an equal housing lender.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
When you watch film and you see an open guy, right? Plays are designed for a quarterback to look a certain way, right? So here's the concept. We're going to read high to low. We're going to read low to high, depending on the situation. If it's like third and two, you're going to check that first guy and hit the guy. That's how they look. So if they're looking over here and the guy beats his guy on the backside and he goes, I was open, that's not fair to the play design either. So, like, yeah. Wide receivers always complain. Like, that's not new. I don't have a problem with that. That's being a competitor. I want to get the damn ball. Mm-hmm. Of course. That means he's going to do everything he can to get the ball, not quit. Once you quit, my hands are tied. I can't.
Speaking of, Tyreek Hill's camp, according to the Miami Herald, has indicated he doesn't want to leave the Dolphins, but he does want them to make moves to make the roster improved.
What? Get. Hold up.
Damage is done.
Let me get this straight. You quit on the team and you got demands? Is that right?
He just wants to see some tweets.
Wait. You quit. And you coming and making demands? Oh, I don't want to leave, but I just want the team to do a couple of things.
He wants to win.
You play a pivotal role in that.
Fair point.
If he wasn't playing Hong Kong Fooey with the football periodically. Right?
When's the last time you heard a Hong Kong Fooey?
Hong Kong Fooey?
The song.
The Kung Fu Fighting?
No.
Hong Kung Fu was a cartoon.
It was a cartoon, yeah. Kung Fu. So, like, are you?
Jesus.
Ah! He's making demands?
Well, it's his camp. His camp sourced in the Herald.
Not I don't give a rat's ass who it is. Nobody should be saying nothing.
Wow.
Except like, Tyreek, and keep in mind, who was the guy that said, don't make nothing of that press conference. I understand.
Yeah, of course.
I understand the heat of the moment. It kind of built to that point, and I understood the frustration. I'm the only guy that said, don't make nothing of that. But then you come back with...
He just wants to see some tweaks.
Yeah. You lucky they don't come in and tweak your contract.
Well, we'll see.
May have to.
I trade him for Cooper Kupp.
Wow!
Wow! Intangibles?
Wow.
Whoa.
But, come on.
Gooseys.
Question. It's not possible to be that unaware, right? Even his camp.
He's the cheetah.
It's his camp.
This is Drew but Rosenhaus. Drew Rosenhaus got up there the day after. He goes, a lot of other people didn't play games that he played in. I'm like, oh, Drew, come on, dude. Come on, dude.
Oh, my goodness. What are we doing? Like, it's off season. Like, I'm going to be honest with you. I got all the love in the world for Tyreek.
We hosted this gala.
All the love in the world for his agent. I think that guy is a bulldog when it comes to getting guys their money. Nothing but respect for him.
Yep.
Put the Twitter fingers down. Right? Like, nobody wants to hear from Tyreek or Tyreek's camp Super Bowl week when you ain't been playing football in four weeks. Like, it's just, that's just being.
I'm with you.
Like, it.
Are you okay?
I'm.
I just want to get the exact line.
You know what that's equivalent to?
Sure.
If after the game, Gary Anderson would have said, well, if we would have made a couple of more plays, we would have won the game.
Agreed. You need to know.
That's what that is the equivalent to. And again, nothing but love for him, but not the time.
Mm-mm.
Not the time.
Mm-mm.
Oh, my goodness. Like, is everybody feeling where I'm coming from? Does that not make sense? Right?
Hills
Why is he out here like LeBron?
Hills Camp has, this is from Barry Jackson, Hills Camp has indicated that he simply wants Miami to bolster the roster because he wants to win. He said that he made his January 5th I'm out comments out of frustration.
I said that.
Mm-hmm.
I said that. Like, there was nothing. Don't worry about it. It happens. But you had time to think before you said this.
I would have, well.
I mean, when was the last time? Now, first of all, I mean, he out here like De'Aaron Fox. Right? Before I sign extension, I want to see where we are.
That's true.
Like LeBron.
Well, he already signed the contract, though.
Right. But this right here. When was the last time you heard a wide receiver to say something like that? I mean, even here, you know how I feel about Myles Garrett. And I'm okay with Myles Garrett doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
I am. I understand.
I get what Myles Garrett's doing. He's right. His team
but
is.
Look at the way he did it.
Oh, yeah. 15 sacks, 17 games.
No, I'm going to wait to make my decision before I see how they tweak the roster.
Well, don't they, like, how does his contract, I think there's going to be dead cap on it, but don't, like, isn't he trying to get out in front of it because, you know, couldn't they just, like, let him go because of the league year or something like that?
They ain't going to let him go.
All right.
You got to try to get something for him. Like, if you can get some picks and a decent player return, mm-hmm. like, the player part of it never matched, you know, like, what happened with Luka and Anthony Davis? That never happens in football, except, and it still didn't really happen when Goff and Stafford switched, because one was free agent and one was trade.
Yeah, and also like Goff was definitely damaged goods. I think at that point he was pretty low value at that point.
Right. So, like, yeah. When have you ever heard like a wide receiver say something like that? Never.
I can't think of it.
Right.
I mean, like, I'm just thinking of, like, Terrell Owens beefs with quarterbacks.
No, he never said, I need to see what they do to the roster. Right?
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Cook up a special dinner with USDA Choice Beef New York Strip Steak, bone-in for $7.99 per pound. And for that special someone on Valentine's Day, Debbie Lilly Design Dozen Roses for $24.99. Large pack of 2-pound strawberries or 18-ounce blueberries, $4.99 each. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, football,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Manso is the sports director at WPLG Local 10 here in Miami. You watch him on the Heat broadcasts on FanDuel Sports Network Sun as well. What do you got for Sunday? Who do you got, KC or Philly?
I got to be, look, the heart of me obviously takes KC because I'm a Giants fan and hates the Eagles. But, I mean, take that hat off and the bias of wanting to see the Eagles lose. How do you bet against Patrick Mahomes? You know, I mean, it's that they find a way, and everybody keeps thinking their demise is coming, they're going to slip, and here they are again in the Super Bowl. So, simple answer is, I just, until somebody beats KC, which eventually will happen, I don't think it's now. I think KC wins a third in a row, and the storyline with Mahomes continues.
And we're with the, because if they win, if KC went third in a row, that's the first three, you know, we're not allowed to say three-peat, I think. Pat Riley going to
You can. You got to shoot him $20.
Sue me or something. Yeah, but, like, Minimum. Everybody, Patrick Mahomes, he can't be better than Brady because Brady has this many rings. Patrick's going to get him 6-7 rings. Like, we know that. Can you say Patrick is better than Brady already, or we got to go resume?
Oh, man, that's a great, because I think what Mahomes has done, I mean, it's just, it's hard. You got to go with the period of time, right? And Mahomes hasn't done it as long as Brady. So obviously Brady's going to have a little bit up on him as far as championships and stats. I think I go Mahomes over Brady because I've seen the Giants beat Brady twice. So he couldn't beat Eli twice. I go Mahomes. There you go. That's where I go toward Mahomes. But both, I mean, you're talking 1-2, the greatest.
What are you doing Sunday? You're working, or do you get to enjoy the game at all? I guess you got to do like the Sunday night face-off or something.
Yeah, I'll be working. I'll be watching the game like everybody else. I'll just be, you know, enjoying, and then, you know, preparing whatever comes post Jimmy Butler with the Heat. You know, because we're gonna have a storyline. Well, the Super Bowl Sunday, the lead on every local show outside of talking the Super Bowl is going to be what happened with Jimmy Butler. What happened with the Heat? Is he still around?
What is
around?
The trade deadline? Is it Thursday? When's the trade?
Thursday, 3 or 4 p.m. Yeah, I can't remember if it's 3 or 4, but yeah, it's Thursday. So this is going to, that's why I said something is going to give in the next few days. We're all tired of this conversation. It's going to finally end, but it may not end. It may extend to like, holy crap, what goes on next? He's still in the Heat. What's going to happen?
Hey, Will, can you turn off analyst mode while watching the game? Because we watch you on halftime. We watch you have, you know, post game. Like you have to watch the Heat to be able to talk about them in a minute when they say go. Can you watch the Super Bowl without, like, looking at it from an analyst standpoint and just enjoy a game?
Yeah, and I, you know why? Because I kind of check out. Like, football, I love football. I mean, I love watching games. But once my team, either the team I love, the Giants, which was very early in the season, is out of it, or the Dolphins have no hope and I don't have to worry, you know, there's going to be no covering and travel and things, I kind of check out of football mode. I just watch it as a fan. So I, you know, I'll be watching, enjoying, having some pizza, having some wings, having a good time, and not worry about that angle of it. Just enjoy it as a fan.
Is Clay in the studio with you when you guys are enjoying the wings there? Because he likes the boneless wings, famously.
Well, we order,
overrule him,
yeah,
because you're his boss.
We order boneless and regular wings just for everybody. Just to, you know, because Clay, of course, he's got to do the boneless. So I got to do, you know, we order right. A big batch for everybody to have.
But you would never touch the boneless ones, right? That's for making Clay and the interns.
No, I like boneless wings.
What? Get out of here.
I like boneless wings. I do.
Over bone-in wings?
No, I didn't say that. I didn't say a good bone-in wing. No, absolutely. I love that. But sometimes it's just in the mood where I just want to grab a couple and just eat it and keep going with my day. I don't feel like, you know, getting all sloppy and crazy. So I just grab it and eat it. That's fine. So I could do both. I'm fine. I'm not too picky as far as the selection when it's out there.
Interesting. Hey, Will, you want to get a rise out of Clay when you see him? Tell him he should have stopped the ball at the Jay Hoops tournament this weekend when Ava Crowder went coast to coast to win the game.
Oh my God. Can I tell you something, guys? Let me tell you something. And Channy probably knows this because he's seen him out of the court. Clay, we call him Coach Clay. Coach Clay is like, Clay is the nicest, sweetest guy in the world. Like, he really is a person who'll do anything for you. He's so friendly, great person, great dad and husband. When Coach Clay comes out, though, in the station, when he's cutting film, he's looking at film. Before Sunday Night Show, he's cutting video, and I'm thinking, oh, man, he must be studying the Jimmy Butler trade. And I pass by, and it's like 8-year-olds playing, and he's got X's and O's. I'm like, what the hell
Crowder.
Is going on? Yeah, I don't understand. And that alone, that play will probably be dissected for the next week in his coaching sessions. How did you allow it to just go up the court like that? How do you know? That will be the topic of conversation for the next week for Clay.
No lie. Hawk, Salam, I didn't text it. This to you. I wanted to tell all y'all. Clay was trying to get Ava teched because she was hard fouling his girls. He was playing against her.
He was coaching Ava.
He got her in the league, but there's a draft. So another coach drafted Ava before he got a chance to draft her. So now he has to play against Ava. and he was telling the referee to throw a tech on Ava. And I'm watching like, Clay, you want him to throw a tech on Ava?
Like, good for him. Good for him. I like that. And so what? She went coast to coast and beat his team?
Yeah, 17-17, 20 seconds left, got a rebound and hit it.
Oh, man, that's going to eat away, Clay. We could have a whole segment on this. He breaks down film, and he'll see heat drills when he goes to cover heat, and he'll implement it with the girls. And it's amazing. And he'll implement, I saw this with the Heat. He's an intense coach. Coach Clay is intense.
They have a practice. Ava played for him last year. They have a practice schedule that's already set by the league. He'll text a WhatsApp thread with the parents. Hey, we'll just be here on Sunday if you want to show up and get some work in. Clay is intense about this coaching, man.
Open gyms.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Coach Clay, I'm telling you, he's got a little spo in him. He's got a little
tell him he's got to coach defense, too. Anybody can coach offense. He's going to let someone go coast to coast for the dub. I mean, spend a little time on defense.
Oh, Clay. Man, that's going to cut Clay very deep. But I will
You know who doesn't coach defense very well? Guys who eat boneless wings. You know who's a gritty, defensive, good defensive coach? Guys will gnaw some meat off the bone on a bone-in wing.
That's what it takes. That's what it takes. Yeah. I'm going to let him know.
That's the scouting report on Ferrero. All right, there you go. Will Manso from Local 10. Thank you as always, Will.
Thanks, guys. Anytime.
Will Manso, FanDuel Sports Network, Sun and Local 10. We'll take a break, come back with a little more Hockman and Crowder.
We apologize. This is the Hock and Crowder Show.
You look slightly zooted.
You know, I might have tailgated a little bit.
Hock and Crowder.
So it is Super Bowl week. Just a lot of basketball going on. A lot of stuff to talk about with basketball. But the line right now for the Super Bowl on Sunday, Chiefs are 1.5-point favorites. Now, explain this to me, if you would be so kind. So I told you I've put in a couple of bets early for the Super Bowl. Usually I wait till Super Bowl Sunday because I have fun doing it. I get into the mood on Super Bowl Sunday. But I put in some bets early because I was like, you know what? I'm going to beat the line or what I anticipate the line to be before it goes up. So I told you last week, I don't know if you were here the 2 days that I mentioned Solana, but one of the bets I put in was Travis Kelce over 64.5 yards receiving.
Wow.
And my thought was Kelce's going to have a good Super Bowl, might be his final game ever. And how great would it be to go out on a three-peat and, you know, catch 100 yards and a touchdown or whatever. So I said, you know what? As it gets closer to the game, all the, you know, very casual gamblers, they're going to get swept up into the major storylines. Travis Kelce will be one of them. And the line will go from 64.5 to, I said, 68.5 by game time. So I put it in last week. Travis Kelce over 64.5 yards receiving. It's now at 61.5. What gives? What did I think wrong there? How did the opposite happen there from what I thought?
I can't wait to hear what Pizzola has to say about how you handicap that.
I think I said it to Sterling, didn't I? You weren't with us on Friday, but I think I was telling Solana, like, I put in that Travis Kelce over on receiving yards bet because I said what my logic was, as it gets closer to the game, casual bettors are going to look at Mahomes and Kelce and bet overs. And, you know, that's part of the fun. So I put it in last week, Kelce over 64.5 receiving yards. And now it's at 61.5. How did it go backwards 3 yards? What did I miss there? What did I miscalculate?
Hawk, this is a X and O football question, and I can't understand it. It's Travis Kelce in the Super Bowl. It's his number one target in the history of his career. Ooh, is Travis hurt? Is he old?
That's what I thought. I'm like, did I miss some news here?
The Eagles have a hellified secondary. DeJean and Charles
But they
Charles
knew that
Carter
when they set the line originally. Like, what?
They did.
Anyway, if you like my line at 64.5, you'll love it now at 61.5. So put it in because I'm stuck at 64.5.
If it moved, no offense, Hawk, but you're not moving lines. But if the Sharks come in, who moved the line? Everybody started going under?
Everybody. I'm the dope that went over. I'm the only guy who went over. I'm the Mavericks.
Yeah, that's so the shot. You know what? The Sharks went the other way. Hawk, you're good.
Am I? Because I'd rather have I still like his over. I'd rather have it at 61.5 than at 64.5.
Yes.
Hawk, he's I'm just looking at his game logs this year because I know Kelsey's production has been down this year a little bit. He had four targets, two receptions versus Buffalo, 19 total yards in that game. But
yeah, the AFC Championship game was no good.
But
the two games before that, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, he had 117 yards versus Houston on 8 targets, 7 receptions, and their final game against Pittsburgh. Man, he played that game. He had 11 targets, 84 yards.
Because he had like there was a little lull during the regular season where he was starting. It looked like he was falling off. And then all of a sudden the last game of the season and the one playoff game and like it just exploded. But yeah, the AFC Championship game, he did not have numbers at all.
I liked your logic, though, before you told me it went down.
It's a crazy ending to my story. Like it's like, oh, you put it in at 64.5. What's it at now? It's got to be up to 70, right? No. Shockingly, it's at 61.5.
It's fun. And then even I'm not defending it, Hawk. Obviously, Vegas is smart enough. But with a crazy pass rush out of Philly, you think it'll be quicker. He has to get rid of it to the tight end, to the slot guys.
Was it Lee Sterling who was talking to us, was saying they're gonna be in zone? He finds his way to get open in that zone coverage all the time.
Yeah.
Regardless though, Super Bowl Mahomes. Who's he going to throw the ball to?
The guy he trusts more than anybody on the field.
More than anybody.
Hawk. The opposite of your thought was that the number was inflated because of the Taylor Swift, because of all the hoopla around him, and now it's evening out to a realistic number.
So the books go, we're going to set it here because we know there's going to be overaction on him. And so all the smart players looked at that and went, wow, they set that high because there's going to be a bunch of mopes out there who just bet whatever the over is for Travis Kelce. We'll wait till they start putting their money there, and then we'll hammer the under.
Yeah, I think that's it. I think we worked this out.
Can't believe that happened to me.
I was about to say, I think you just called yourself a mope, but it's...
I can't believe that happened to me.
You guys,
you know,
think
when you sit down at the table, if you can't identify the mope, you're the mope.
The mope.
You guys think the game is going to be high scoring though? Because I don't. I don't know what the over under is.
I do. I do. I think it's like 40. What is it?
I believe I'm going to take
49.
And it's so funny, Hawk, because you wait to see what happens. You get in early. We've asked all the gamblers that because you had 2 weeks to get ready for it. Low scoring first half, then they both just take off. It's happened in the whole playoffs. Oh, 17-20. Oh, okay. It ends 45-41.
Right. Like, you think you have it locked up after the first half.
Yes.
Nah, man. I think the Chiefs know. We keep this close. We ride our defense. Don't make mistakes against a really good Eagles defense. Keep it close because fourth quarter, last 5 minutes of the game, you're going to win it. If it's close, if it's a one-score game, you're going to win it. Period, end of story.
But the thing is, and I'm not saying I can't wait to watch this game. The Chiefs got away. They don't run the ball anymore. They're not good at it. And the Eagles are one of the best run defenses in the NFL. So now we're going to start running when they do this very well. And now, what's Patrick going to throw a bunch of screens? Man, I think it's going over. I'm taking the over.
Somebody's texting me nonstop. Philly sucks against the tight end.
I don't know.
They shut down Washington's wide receivers and let Ertz go for over 100 yards.
But they got Ertz did go crazy. But they got the little cute white dude, Jajin, whatever his name is.
He's not cut out to guard Travis Kelce. Come on.
Maybe Kelce will be sweet on him because he's white. He'll be a little light on him.
I thought he liked black girls.
Oh, that's true. Never
Wasn't
mind.
That his whole thing?
No. No, he's with Taylor Swift.
I know, but his whole thing was he was a brother for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, but he done went back now. He gonna love. Yeah,
I think he interviewed him in a barbershop.
He going to love on DeGene because he's Taylor Swiftie.
I think a lot of those theories are things that happen in social media and they get a new life. And so I understand that. I think it reflects a lot of the fans' passion. And I think it also is a reminder for us how important officiating is. And I think the men and women that officiate in the NFL are outstanding. They have the highest possible standards. If we do, 18-2 might be a possibility, because we know that fans, I think, love football. They want more football, but we have to be incredibly sensitive and smart about the balance and how we deal with that.
Commissioner Roger Goodell there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood. I'm 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, toyotaofhollywood.com.
All right, Woody. And oh, by the way, the 18 games coming soon, as in a year or two, it'll be done, and you won't have to hear about health and safety or anything else. Well, more games, they're on the way. Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast, joins us. And Kyle, I'm sorry to bother you, but You know what happens down here. So a really good football player on another team says he wants to be traded. So you know how that works in every NFL market. Myles Garrett wants to be traded, and we got people going, wow, we got to go get him. We got to trade for him. And I'm like, no, we need to stay where we are and use our draft picks and draft guys. We got to build up the young, talented roster. It's a little shorthanded right now with young, talented players. Do you agree with that?
Yes, I would agree. First of all, I'm a little disappointed you didn't ask me about 18 games so that I can make the joke that then they would transition to talking about going to 20 games after
right. But, you know, nobody wants those two preseason games, exactly.
But, yes, I generally agree. There's different life cycles that teams are in, and I think when you consider where Miami is at with the top of their roster is more mature players with big contracts, and we're talking about getting better salary cap health and infusing and building through the draft. And then the first shiny object that flashes across our eyes, we all get goo goo gaga for. And I think that would be very short-sighted for Miami to make a move like that, even though he is an outstanding player. It's just wrong place, wrong time as far as it being a move that I would really advocate for the Dolphins.
This, Kyle, you've been around a while. I've been around a little longer than that, but I can't remember last time the Dolphins needed most likely two safeties and two guards to come in and start. If we go by what I think's going to, I think Javon Holland's going to hit the open market. I don't know if you agree with that, but could you see two new safeties and two new guards starting this year?
I would expect it at this point, just because I think those spots, not only are they players with expiring contracts, I think they're players that played positions that when you reflect on their individual contributions, it felt like there's a lot of room for more impact there. And I think when you have a blank slate like that, I think you'd be foolish not to take advantage of it. And, you know, as compared to having blind faith and just running it back and saying, oh, well, we know these guys, and sometimes the devil you know is better than the devil you don't. And they did that last year with both those guys on the interior, and it kind of blew up in their face. So, it's my expectation that they will, I don't want to say overcorrect, but they will invest appropriately to find players to come in. Maybe not break the bank for them, but get new players in here, new blood to kind of breathe some life into those rooms.
So Anthony Weaver looks like he's going to be back as a defensive coordinator. Had a great year, but I got to tell you, I brought this stat up earlier today, and I know you're aware of it. Our two safeties did not have an interception, and you throw in a guy that started at corner in Kendall Fuller, I think 11 games or so. He didn't have one. That's incredible, and you start adding up games with no interceptions from a starting corner and two safeties. Hard to do.
Yeah, I think the defense as a whole, turnovers needs to be a much bigger point of emphasis, and I'm sure it was a point of emphasis, but they didn't get turnovers at the degree in which they needed to last year. And some of that you're sensitive to having a complimentary pass rush and they really didn't have a complimentary pass rusher for much of the year. So I think some of that influence on the quarterback probably has some of that, and it's a very unstable statistic. But at the same time, you can't look at the amount of times they got hands on the ball versus the amount of times they converted those opportunities to turnovers and say that that's acceptable. And then you can't look at the raw number of turnovers and say that gave us a really good chance to be a really good team this year because we gave ourselves a lot of short fields.
The other thing is Chris Greer has not been I'm going to take a guard in the first round, but we've had some tackles. A lot of them had to move inside at some point and play guard, especially early in their careers. Do you see it more that way? It'll be a guy that's played tackle coming into play guard.
Yeah, I think you look at most of the names that are projected to be in the top 50 where the Dolphins have two picks. There's really only one or two guys that are inside exclusive guys that I would say are in that conversation. Maybe three, maybe Donovan Jackson from Ohio State, who ended up playing tackle for Ohio State down the stretch when their starting tackle went down. But I think the vast majority of these offensive linemen are college tackles. Some of them have a little bit less length and project a little bit more favorably inside at guard. And we all know the Dolphins love their positional flexibility and the ability to find combinations of guys to put out on the field. And I think if they do go with an offensive lineman at 13, that I think would have to be the recipe, would be a college tackle who can play tackle, but in the short term might be a part of the best five at guard.
Yeah, I'm with you. So let me ask you the other part is we had Mason Taylor on yesterday, one of the top tight ends in the upcoming draft. Boy, just listen to everybody talking about Elijah Arroyo as well,
yeah.
Kane's tight end. Can you see him jumping over a couple of the guys that were kind of at the top of the list before the Senior Bowl?
Yeah, I don't think they'll break into necessarily the top two names, but I would guess both those guys are top five tight ends off the board in the draft, and they'll both probably be gone by the middle of the third round, I would guess is probably the floor. I think for Mason, I think Elijah's really put himself in a spot to potentially have a blow-up spot with kind of the explosiveness that he has and kind of a seam buster and how good he runs his routes. And Mason's a little bit more of a traditional inline type guy, but a receiving profile that's really promising. So those guys fall a little bit in the draft due to positional value, but this is a really, really, really strong class. And the free agency class is frankly not good at all. So I think all of that adds up to, I would guess, you know, the Elijah has a chance to be a top 50 pick, and Mason, I think, is a really good chance to be a top 75 pick.
All right, so I want to ask you about this quarterback situation. Now we got I wish they would just talk about bringing in quarterbacks and not who Tua likes. It drives me friggin' nuts. Marcus Mariota, they're talking about him coming in to be the backup. Of course, he and Tua looked up to Marcus. He went to his high school at St. Louis High School in Hawaii, in Honolulu. Beautiful place over there, by the way. Good way to start that Hawaiian vacation right there. But I'm just curious, Marcus Mariota, top of the list for that. That's the kind of guy you're looking for. Guy's got starts that can come in and win some games if Tua goes down.
Yeah, I think it's the right a player with the right kind of background, right? Was highly drafted, played a lot, played through adverse conditions, had his own individual struggles, seems to have found comfort late in his career. You'd feel comfortable giving the keys to your offense. He's seen a lot of football. A name like him, a name like Andy Dalton, I think are two of the more attractive options that are out on the market. So obviously Schefter earlier in the week kind of put out a bug that, you know, Mariota may have interest from Miami. And if that's the name that they settle on, then I think they'll have done a nice job in the first part of addressing their quarterback room. But I don't think a short-term veteran appeases all of what they should do in that room. I think they need to get a young upside player as well and be prepared to carry three. So I would just hate for them to sign Marcus Mariota and then dust their hands off and say, all right, well, that's that. We're all done. Let's move on.
Yeah. Let me ask you about Kendall Fuller real quickly too. Couple of concussions, knee, yeah. 11 games I think he played. I think he ended up missing six games. Do you come back with him, or do you just got to clearly let him go and start over on the outside as well?
Yeah, I think it depends on how much faith and confidence they have in a lot of the young guys in that room. And they seem to have some guys that they like, but all of those guys, all those young guys, I think have a lot of growth that's necessary. How comfortable are they in turning that over to that young nucleus of guys to compete and have somebody emerge? And, or do you go back into the free agency market again and sign another player with a similar idea? You could save a couple million dollars against the cap, but there's not big time savings available for you if you move on. So that's one of those ones where I think the question is it worth opening up another hole to transition, or do you keep him for a mid-tier compensation this year and hope that somebody passes him along the way?
Yeah.
So I don't know that there's a right answer there. I think you could justify going either way with that one. But with a team that has so many vacancies right now, the thing that I'm trying to be hypersensitive to as I figure out what direction I think they should go is, let's not make a bunch of additional holes on your roster along the way.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. I agree with you. By the way, did you see that quarterback class while you were at the Senior Bowl? Did you see any first-round picks in that group?
No, I did not. I think Jackson Dart from Ole Miss throws a nice ball.
Yeah.
His agency is working overtime, I'll tell you what, because they came out of the week and it was all rave reviews. But I just think the system that he comes out of is a really steep learning curve. I think decision-making under pressure in an offense that doesn't put a ton of strain as far as the progressions I'd just be leery, unless he blows you away in the interviews, that he's going to be ready to play anytime soon. And the scarcity of the quarterback class, I think, will put him in the stratosphere where he'll probably get drafted early in the second round. And that cost point for a player that I think needs time, even though he's physically gifted, and I think it was the best one there, is what gives me a lot of pause.
Yeah, I just getting back to what you just said, because I'm looking at everything they have and the Dolphins now going back to fixing this thing. I don't want to get into that situation you and I started this conversation with, of getting carried away about somebody sexy out there you might give up a draft pick or two for. I want to draft them, but, man, you're going to have to do some of this through free agency, because yep. You're looking at D linemen. I mean, you literally – I don't know how they feel about the other tight ends. Durham Smythe, I don't know his situation now after his year. You're going to have to bring some of these guys back, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, guys that are on expiring contracts, I think maybe if they're back in different roles. Like, if you told me the team signed Robert Jones on another one-year, $2 million deal with the intent that he was going to be your fourth guard and your ninth offensive lineman to serve as a depth player, and you added two free agent starters as mid-tier contracts and drafted a kid, I think you'd be fine with that. So, like, there's players like that across this roster. On the defensive line, with Deshaun Hand and Benito Jones, had really nice role player type jobs. I think you can aspire to be better on the interior with a nose tackle or with another base end or with another 4-eye who plays in the B gap, and you can go out and pursue those kinds of things. But those are the kinds of players that, you know, I think you can bring a number of your expiring contracts back. You're not going to break the bank for them. And, you know, then you can really use the draft and aspire to just pick the best players available, so that, you know, you kind of have a better resolution of what your three-year snapshot of guys on the roster looks like.
Yeah. Hey, this Malachi Starks, I'll leave you with this one. It was kind of the sexy name, the safety out of Georgia. Yeah. Are you as high on him as everybody else? If he's sitting there at 13, that he comes right in and makes an impact and starts day one?
I think he would start day one, because he did that at the University of Georgia as a freshman. He came in and was one of the quarterbacks of their defense, and it's a complex defense. I don't think he had his best year this year. And just kind of based on some of the stuff that you're hearing now, that some of the league insiders are putting out their rankings and projections, it sounds like the league's down on him a little bit, as far as maybe like a mid to late first round type of player. So I don't think that's a, oh my God, we have to take this player, no questions asked, if you have a good trade offer that's available to you or anything like that. But he's a great football player. He's a super diverse talent. I think he'd be well implemented in a defense like the one the Dolphins are aspiring to have. So if you told me that was the pick,
yeah,
I'd be totally fine with it. But if they pick somebody else, went a different direction, or traded off the board with him there at 13, like I wouldn't be sitting here grabbing my pitchfork heading down to Hard Rock.
Yeah. No, I got you. Kyle, thank you, man. A lot of good stuff. I'm going to leave you alone for a while, Kyle. I just had to follow up some of the Senior Bowl stuff. I appreciate it, and talk a little Dolphins with you. Thank you.
We got Combine in a couple weeks. I expect you to bother me for it.
All right. That sounds good. Kyle Krabs, the host of the Locked On Fins podcast, joining us. Got to check it out. My man puts in a lot of time and a lot of travel for stuff with the Miami Dolphins, as well as all this draft stuff as well. Right now, though, before we go to break here, want to take a second and tell you about Marlins baseball. You know what's coming up? We got, as everybody knows, we got the Super Bowl coming up here. But, boy, Marlins fans and baseball fans, get ready for the first fiesta of the season, Fan Fest. This Saturday, don't miss your chance at exclusive MVP access. Meet Sandy Alcantara and all your other favorite young players. Get behind-the-scenes tour of the ballpark, free kids clinics. Boy, I'm going to tell you in just a second how you can register and make sure they know you're coming, because it's all free. At the end of the night, with an epic fireworks show, plus fans will get the first look at the 2025 season featuring theme nights, heritage celebrations, and more. You're really something for the whole family on this one. Experience it all on this Saturday, February 8th, from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. So get your tickets today at marlins.com/fanfest.
And it is time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood Hotline. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location. Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com, where we are joined by Odyssey NFL insider Brian Baldinger, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious, Joe.
Well, I got to tell you, Baldy's been a busy, busy man. Senior Bowl. Now we got the Super Bowl, we got free agency, and everything else getting ready to start up. It's crazy time. Baldy, good morning. How you doing, bud?
Hey, good morning, Joe. I'm doing well. Good to be with you, buddy.
Hey, so I got to ask you, you stuck in my brain. I can't get rid of it, what you said. I literally was drinking with a couple of my friends on Friday, and yeah. I'm saying build it through the trenches. See what you've done to me, man, down here. I'm like, you got – what do you think the offensive line talent from what you saw at the Senior Bowl?
I think it's pretty good, Joe. I think it's pretty good. I don't think there's, you know, any Trent Williams or Lane Johnsons in this draft right now. But I thought it was pretty good. I thought it was really good on the defensive line. I think that's the strength of this draft and what I saw at the Senior Bowl.
We got to fix the old line, though. You have said it, yeah. And you said it nicely, not hurting anybody's feelings, but we got to really upgrade inside. Did you like Jalen Rivers? I got to ask you about the UM guy who was there, and he's a big, strong dude. What did you think of him?
Yeah, he played guard and center down at the Senior Bowl. I liked him. He looked like a middle-round guy. You know, somewhere early on day three. That's what it looked like to me, but I don't know how he's going to test and some of the things that can knock a guy up or knock him down. But he looked pretty solid in there to me.
You know, you don't have to get these guys in the first round, right? I mean, there are some special guys, and we talk about them, and we're going to see this Eagles offensive line, which is just so good inside and outside, especially when it's healthy. But you got to find some of these guys, and everybody seems to be telling me the Dolphins might be able to find some guards in the third, fourth round in that area. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, when you look inside, I liked the guy from LSU, Miles Frazier. I liked the kid from Arkansas State who used to be playing up, this kid Jacob Bayer. You know, I mean, I could go through some guys. There's a kid from North Dakota State that looked really, really promising. Playing really at every single position, but he locked everybody up one-on-ones in pass protection. But, you know, I mean, look, if you look at when Kansas City Joe lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they went out and drafted Creed Humphrey in the second round. They went out and got Trey Smith in the sixth round. People took him off the board because he had blood clots. All he's done is played every single game four straight years in a row. They went out in free agency, got Joe Tooney, and right. They fixed their offensive line in one draft. And literally, within 3 months, they fixed their offensive line. The Eagles did similar things. They drafted Cam Jurgens, knowing that eventually Jason Kelce was going to retire. They drafted Landon Dickerson.
So
they struck Mekhi Becton. You know, they fixed their line really in another lot. They just kept their line strong over the course of, you know, however long, you know, basically Jalen Hurts has been there right now.
Yeah, well, listen, it's great. But, you know, it's funny. Excuse me. We've been talking about this. So you look at, you go position by position for this Super Bowl coming up. I mean, you can make an argument without exaggerating, like, Philadelphia, across the board, with key players and starters on both sides, even some key backups, you probably give a lot of the Eagles players like, oh, I'd rather have him, but the great neutralizer is the system, is the coaching, and that friggin' quarterback is the great. And Kansas City's got a lot of good players, but Philly's going to have a chance to win this game.
Oh, I picked him from the beginning, Joe. Before the postseason even started, I thought the Eagles would go 4-0. You can certainly make the case that you just made for Andy Reid and his system and for Patrick Mahomes and, you know, just the motivation to go for the three-peat and really build their own legacy. But I just thought Philadelphia was stronger in the trenches. They don't have Patrick Mahomes, but Jalen Hurts is not he's not going to beat you. He's not going to turn the ball over. And their defense right now, Joe, in these three preseason games, you know, has had 10 takeaways in three games.
Jeez.
And it's been the difference in these games. I mean, they're plus 10 in turnover ratio right now in three postseason games. I thought they were the better team. I thought they're the better defense. And so, you know, you got to play it out. But I thought from the beginning that Philadelphia looked better to me.
Since you know both these guys, I'm about ready to ask you about, who do you give the nod to? And they're probably the two best defensive coordinators in Spagnuolo and Fangio. What's your thoughts on if I told you could have one guy, whose system do you like?
I mean, I would take Spags. I mean, he's got four Super Bowls to his name. 1 year when he was out of coaching before he went to Kansas City, he spent every Monday in my office just looking at college tape, studying the college game, trying to get ahead of what was coming to the NFL. You know, his ability just to literally change up, get to the quarterback, affect the quarterback. We really have never seen anything quite like, you know, Spags when he took down Tom Brady, going for perfection in 2011, what he's done in Kansas City. I mean, and then it's no knock on Vic. Vic's been outrageous. But I would take Spags in a big moment.
Hey, you know, the other thing is, and I think of Spags now, some of the blitzes he's called at the end of crucial situations down on the goal line against San Francisco or fourth down against Josh Allen.
Yep.
Even though the ball is dropped. So those are great calls. I don't know where they're coming from, but Buffalo wasn't ready for it. The 49ers, all these smart guys are not ready for it.
No, they're not, because he kind of lulls you to sleep, Joe. You know it's coming. You just don't know when or how or what situation is coming. But you know it's coming. But you can't just pack it in and go max protection every play. I mean, he would love for you to do that. Then he knows he's winning. So it's just when you least expect it, he just whams you. And then the other thing is, in both those situations, it's really, you know, in both situations you just described, Joe, the right guard was indecisive about what to do. And then they also got extra pressure from the secondary coming off the slot. So he put the guard in a position where he wasn't sure, and that's always the worst position for any offensive lineman. And then he brought extra pressure. And so, you know, when he gets the line indecisive, then he knows he's got you beat.
Brian Baldinger here with us on QAM Insider Calls, are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Baldy, getting back to this rookie class for just a second, too. This happens a lot, and we just coming off, I think, a great quarterback rookie class that we just saw led by Daniels and how good he was with the Commanders. But this rookie class kind of getting beaten up a little bit, man. After Warden Sanders, it's not getting a lot of respect. What do you think of this quarterback rookie class potentially?
Well, I mean, I talk to a lot of people that evaluate these drafts every year, Joe, and nobody is very, very high. Riley Leonard, you know, Will Howard. I mean, you go through the list of guys. Nobody's very high on this class. If you put, let's just say, Bo Nix in this draft, he'd be the number one pick in the draft.
Wow.
You know, and so, I mean, it's that's kind of, you know, how you play these drafts and compare them. I mean, forget about Michael Penix. Michael Penix should be the number one pick in this draft. So that's where this quarterback draft class is. They're just not real high. That doesn't mean these guys can't come out,
right?
You know, and become, you know, Patrick Mahomes. I don't think they're going to be Patrick Mahomes. But, you know, he was the 10th pick in the draft. You know, so I you go compare drafts between past years and this year, and almost every other draft that we've seen in recent years as a quarterback, you'd take in that draft over anybody in this draft.
Wow. And you know the crazy thing about we're gonna have teams reach though because they're so desperate for a quarterback, right? Somebody's gonna go, wow, I got to have this guy. I'm really curious to see how high Ward and Sanders end up going even in this draft.
I'll give you another one, Joe. Just to like, you know, put a little exclamation point on your point here. I've talked to guys that said I would go after Joe Milton III in New England, who started one game last year, last game of the season against Buffalo, and played really well. And people that said they saw him every day in New England, guys that were in that front office, tell me they might take Joe Milton, you know, as either a bridge quarterback, maybe not over Shador and maybe not over Cam Ward, but they might take him as the number three quarterback in this draft.
You know what? It's funny because there's some people in the Dolphins organization felt that way about him too. They thought Milton had a chance. His upside down the road is going to be. New England looks like they're in great shape with the guys they have. To your point, I would agree. Hey, so Baldy is as we go forward on this whole thing, and the pro days and the combines, and then on top of that, 18 regular season games coming soon. As a former player, what are your thoughts? And now as a fan of the game that covers it morning, noon, and night.
Well, let's just look at, say, the two number one seeds in this draft. Let's just start with Detroit and Kansas City. Nobody played week 18, Joe.
Right.
Right? I mean, I guess Detroit, they did. They played to win. But Kansas City basically didn't play anybody in week 18. Philadelphia didn't play anybody in week 18. They could have basically taken off because the Eagles had the division sewed up. They could have taken off 2 weeks. Now if you go to, you know, 19 games, you know, 18 games in 19 weeks or 20 weeks, which they might do, you might not get anybody playing, Joe, the last 2 weeks of the season in a number of places. Like, that's going to be like watching the NBA now when they rest all these guys. So that's one part. Then, I mean, look, Philadelphia and Kansas City are relatively healthy, Joe, but you saw what happened in Miami this year, you know, with the amount of injuries – and just, you know, playing 17 games, that's going to go way up if you get to 18 games. Some teams get luckier than others.
Right.
But injuries are such a factor in whether you win the game, lose the game, especially at key positions. Like, you're going to get a lot of, you know, uncompetitive games with guys just being injured. And you're just going to get more and more of it going 18 games. That's the downside. The upside is, all right, you know, we get another week of football. And
yes.
Who knows what happens?
You know, it's funny because I listen to everybody down here. Oh, the four preseason games, the three preseason games, they suck. I'm guessing most fans would like the 18th game, and they're saying NFL figured out how you can give me a decent product late in the year. But I'm with you. Like, how much can you ask Detroit, ask San Francisco? They were beat up by the time they came down here to play. They were hurting. The Dolphins lost a lot of guys. I mean, I'm guessing everybody or a lot of teams are in that same boat, but it's going to happen, Baldy. The commissioner wants it. It's going to happen.
It's going to happen. Everybody realizes it's going to happen. Really, what's the concession from, you know, what are they going to give to the NFL players? You know, NFLPA, alumni, what are they going to give to these players in order to make it happen? I mean, is it just more money? Is it another week off? Like, I'm not sure what it's going to take.
Yeah.
It's going to take a great deal for it to get ratified by the NFLPA.
Yeah, no, I agree. And how do you feel about Thursday night games? I see you in a lot of Thursday night games anyway, but what are your thoughts on all the Thursday night football games? They're not going away.
It's a bad turnaround. We saw a lot of teams play more. They're supposed to only play one Thursday night game of the entire year, each team.
Right.
But it seemed like it was more than one this year. I have to go back and check it. The teams that played, you know, Kansas City played on Thursday. They played on Wednesday. They played on Saturday.
Played every week, every day of the week.
They played every day but Tuesday. So, you know, that's And here they are.
Right.
So you can say, well, Kansas City played on six different nights this year, and here they are in the Super Bowl. So, you know, just be as good as Kansas City. But, teams around. I just thought you're looking at a diluted product on Thursday night, just with the short turnaround, especially if you're the team that's got to travel.
Right.
So it makes it tough. I know you can prepare for a game in 4 days, Joe, but it's not like you're going to get your very, very best in 4 days. And then, you know, teams have to make a decision with players that are injured. Do we put them out there on this Thursday in a short week, or is it better just to sit them and get ready in 10 days to get ready for the next game?
Well, listen, Baldy, it's been great talking to you, man. There's just so many different things, and the game is growing, and they're going to continue. And, by the way, if they – want to put any more of that money into that pension for the old guys, yeah. God bless.
I'll take it, Joe. I'll catch that check, Joe.
Yeah, I'll take it. Yeah. We love you guys for always remembering us. There's no question about it. So thank you. Baldy, have a good one, brother. Thank you.
Bye-bye. You enjoy the game, Joe. I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Brian Baldinger joining us. I'll just see NFL Insider, NFL Network, Baldy's breakdowns, and everything else.
And he's the host of the Best Football Show podcast. See? Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious.
All right. And he was just talking about it. I talk about it too, injuries. They're going to happen to all of us sooner or later. If you're competitive, not only just in football, but as we get older and we stay competitive, you know, run around, you're going to get injured. It's just a matter of time we all get injured. It's just reality of the situation. But it sure is nice to know that we have Baptist Health South Florida and that top sports medicine program that they put together through the facilities and doctors that they have, some of the best in the business, some of the best specialists for every part of the body, man. You have a problem, you need a surgery, you want to go to somebody that's seen it, that takes care of high school, college, and professional athletes, not just here in South Florida, but from all over the country. They take care of Inter Miami, the Heat, the Panthers, the Dolphins, FIU, FAU, go on and on. The Miami Open's right around the corner. The doctors will be out there taking care of that too. And I always tell everybody when it comes to the knee and the shoulder, the foot, ankle, hand, back, hip and knee replacement, Achilles, they got an all-star lineup of doctors to take care of everybody in Dade and Broward and even Palm Beach County with three great facilities. Doctors Hospital in Coral Gables, obviously. Not only that, but at Hard Rock Stadium right next to the training facility for the Miami Dolphins. And 595 and Pine Island Implantation is just so easy to get to. Yes, the pineapple is alive and well. Visit BaptistHealth.net/ortho. One go every day by getting you healthy. Back out playing the sports you love the most.